Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our new listeners to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or when the world is going to end, but we will get you ready to face that if it does happen. We will talk about first aid, CPR, tornadoes, earthquakes, how to prepare a family emergency plan, how to develop an emergency communication plan, how to hunt, how to fish, how to make a fire. This show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and various guests from around the world who will share their information and their experiences with us. My credentials? They're pretty extensive, with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, a firefighter, an area safety manager, a safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA field councils, and I am your host for the show. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this program or find on hesafety.org or the radio website at csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to get you to think about things and get you to do your own research. Talk with your professional legal and medical advisors. Because in the end, it's all common sense anyway, which you have. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the show. Common Sense Preparedness website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information about subjects than we can give you in a single broadcast. The website is free, so come on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can also listen or download previous shows via the website. I do ask you to sign up, though. Reason being, it's just so I can judge how well the show is doing. Also, please, show some love to our sponsors. They're the ones that keep the show and the websites free of charge. At the end of the day, it all comes down to this: how many lives we save. It is sad to hear of any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune into Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness with your host, my grandpa, Tim Howard.
Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness Weekly Situation Report for the week of April 15, 2012. Getting into our environmental report, our U.S. radiation monitor is looking normal. We have higher than normal background radiation levels in Boston and in Denver. Our river report is looking pretty good and got still some minor flood in Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas border area, but that is decreasing. We do have a poor air quality report coming out of Miami, Florida. And our drought report. Texas, Georgia, and Arizona are reporting exceptional drought conditions. Florida, South Carolina, New Mexico, and Alabama are reporting extreme drought conditions. Our food safety report, we have a recall on loose and fresh jalapeno peppers for salmonella. We have a food safety alert for botulism in Minnesota. That is due to a fish recall. A food safety update: the sushi salmonella outbreak is affecting more and more people. An E. coli test spurs a recall for tender beef in Maine. An outbreak alert: the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services has learned of 5 cases of E. coli infections in central Missouri that have occurred in late March and early April. A 2-year-old child and a 17-month-old child have developed this syndrome as a result of the infections. The source of the infection has not been identified as of yet, and it is unclear from the health advisory whether all 5 cases are related. Club Chef recall in the Midwest for salmonella. Private Selection is having a recall, which is a Kroger brand, in the Midwest for salmonella also. Sysco is having a recall for E. coli with its prime rib beef patties in Arizona, Colorado, Texas, and Washington. We have a food safety recall. PGP International of Judah, Wisconsin is recalling the whey protein products because the products may be contaminated with salmonella. We have an outbreak alert. The Center of Disease Control and Prevention is reporting 3 overlapping multi-state outbreaks of salmonella infections linked to exposure to small turtles and their environments. 66 people in 16 states have been affected with one of the outbreak strains since September 2011. 11 people are hospitalized. 55% of the confirmed victims are children under 10 years old. So these turtles are pretty much in the petting zoos. We have to be careful when we go to petting zoos to wash our hands. Now our medical report. Whooping cough, pertussis, now nationwide. We have a medical alert for Rocky Mountain spotted fever in Arizona. Now that is due to a tick-borne infestation when it bites you. Some skin lotions is being recalled for being tainted with mercury. These are mostly overseas products. Hand, foot, and mouth disease is now nationwide, Alabama, Connecticut, California, and Nevada, and it predominantly affects children under 5. Now, our seismic report, there has been 7,030 recordable seismic events in the past 30 days. Utah will be conducting an earthquake drill on April 17, 2012, at 10:15 a.m. Go to our website at csp.hesafety.org for more information about this drill. April 11th and April 12th, there was 4 different 6-plus magnitude earthquakes, with 2 being in the country of Mexico, a 6.9 and a 7.0. We also had an 8.7 occur in the Indian Ocean. Because it was a shift earthquake, there was no tsunami generated. Now on to our regional reports. New England region, New Hampshire, had a 1.9. The Mid-Atlantic region, nothing to report. Caribbean region, British Virgin Islands, had a 3.6. Puerto Rico also had a 3.6, and the Dominican Republic had a 3.6. The Midwest region, Oklahoma, had a 3.3. Arkansas had a 2.0, and Indiana had a 2.2. Yellowstone region, Montana, had a 2.9. The Rocky Mountain region, Utah, 4.2, and Colorado with a 2.7. The Midwest region, Oregon, had a 5.9. And Washington had a 3.2. The Ring of Fire region, California, had a 3.7. Alaska had a 5.5. And Hawaii had a 3.4. Now, our volcanic report, we have a volcanic alert in Italy, and we had a volcano eruption in Indonesia. Our solar weather report, we had a space weather alert in Illinois. People reported seeing a comet or a plane crash coming from the sky. This type of event is happening on a regular basis lately all over the world. I've seen reports from Australia, New Zealand, India, and Europe with all the same taglines. It's unknown at this time if it's an NEO or space junk. But either way, the danger remains the same. Things are falling out of the sky and we need to be prepared for anything that happens in case any of these items should hit our home or our neighborhood. Now getting on to the report, our x-ray levels are at a B5, that's down from a C3. K index is flat at a 3. Our X-class flares are at 1%. And our geomagnetic storms, we have a 30 to 40% chance of storms this week. Our NEOs, we have 1,287 NEOs in the area. The two that we are concerned with that will come real close to us is on April 19th, NEO 2007 HV4 should come within 4.8 lunar distance of Earth, weighing in at 8 meters. On May 19th, NEO 2010 KK37 should come within 2.3 lunar distance of Earth, with a size of 31 meters. For more information on anything you've heard in this report, go to csp.hesafety.org. And remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune into Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America is known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug-out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. So prepare now for the future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701. I got a chance the other day to take a look at the 7-day, 2-person emergency kit from Health Operations Team. This kit is a great basic starter kit. While it does not contain all the emergency supplies that you'll need during a prolonged disaster, it has enough supplies to ensure that you will survive any 7-day disaster. That's why it's called a basic starter kit. The first thing I noticed was the versatility of the bag. It can be used as a backpack, carried by the handle, by the shoulder strap. It even has wheels on it, so if you need to roll it, you can. The food package and water supplies make the kit kind of heavy, but these are basic requirements, and there's no way of getting around this weight. That's one of the reasons physical conditioning is a requirement in any kind of preparedness plan. Now, everything in the kit is stored in plastic Ziploc bags for weatherproofing protection. First idea I got in my head was, it showed me that I can use it, this weatherproofing idea, for other items. I mean, even a radio came in a plastic bag. The kit comes with a standard first aid kit, hygiene products, rain ponchos, light sticks, rope, and even a pry bar, just to name a few items in the bag. So it has a lot of equipment in there that you do need, some basic equipment. You're going to want to modify it to your family's needs. If your family needs medication, you may want to put the family medication in there, extra eyeglasses and such. Health Operations Team has a complete listing of all the items contained in the kit on their website at hoteam.org. Now, the price on the kit is unbeatable, $130, while all other outlets charge a minimum of $199-$200 for similar kits. Health Operations Team is offering these kits at cost with zero profit margin. What a deal. But what I want to remind you is Health Operations is a non-profit organization. If you can show them any kind of love, please do so. Even if it's a dollar, they need the help. They need the money. So they can go ahead and give these kits to people who are in need, who really need them. Now, some of the items in the kit that I would recommend to change, one would be the radio and the flashlight. Both of them are items that use batteries to operate with. I would exchange them for solar hand-cranked items. I mean, there's no reason to carry the extra weight of the batteries. There's nowhere to recharge them or anything like that. They're good for the home cache, but if you have to use it as a bug-out bag, I'd make sure I'd have solar equipment with me. Now, the coloring book and crayons, that's another thing I'd probably be changing. Now, if you have a kid that's less than 5, it's a great distraction for them. For the older kids, this is where we want to customize the bag for ourselves. We have older kids, we want to put some other stuff in there. However, it does have a deck of cards for adult distractions. Both the food packs and the water packs are edible, trust me. Now granted, I'm a very picky eater. It's not my preferred food of choice, but in an emergency, well, I know I can eat them and get my calories that I need. They are edible. Overall, I was pleased with the starter kit. The price was great, and they'll get you through any type of emergency. So I'm recommending that if you need a kit, contact hoteam.org, and they will be able to get you one. Now, they have a special price program available for disadvantaged and the elderly. So when you talk to them, let them know what you're doing and who you are, and that you heard it on the radio show, and see if you qualify for a discounted program. But even if you don't qualify, it's still a bargain at $130. So contact Health Operations Team at www.hoteam.org. Or you can call their Georgia phone number at 678-431-8914. Once again, that number is 678-431-8914.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com.
Lately, there's been a lot of talk about supplies and supplies in an emergency and stuff like that. And the one word that keeps on catching my attention is caching. And I realize that no one ever explains what caching is all about. They just say the word. Well, caching is the process of hiding equipment or materials in a secure storage place with the idea in mind that you're going to recover it in the future for operational use. The ultimate success of caching may well depend upon attention to detail, security factors such as the cover of the caching party, sterility of the item's cache, and removal of even the slightest trace of the caching operation is vital. Highly important also are the technical factors that govern the preservation of the items in usable condition and the recording of data essential for recovery of the cached items. Successful caching entails careful adherence to the basic principles of covert operations as well as familiarity with the techniques of caching. A lot of people don't understand what the technique of caching is all about. They just hear about it, just bury my stuff. Not really just that. Let's start with the home cache. The home cache is a supply of food and tools in the house or other parts of the home front that would permit you to exist in your home for a determined amount of time, if all outside support should end. To prepare for a black swan event, we need to lay in a supply of food, water, fuel in the home that can provide for our group's needs for at least 1 month. This is part of your shelter-in-place plans. We cannot continue to rely on the government to provide this for us. If the relief efforts do come, then that's just a pleasant addition. Plan on relief efforts not coming. When we prepare our home cache, we must take into consideration the possibility of the home being destroyed also. So what you want to do is you want to divide your home cache into three groups. One is for a home, and two for external caches. Now, the two external caches, since they are part of your home cache, should be close to your home, on your property. If you examine pictures of a disaster area, just remember what you've seen in disaster areas before. Hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, you'll notice one thing. The lawn is always still there. Trees may be broken or bent over. The house may have fallen down, but the grass down on the ground is still intact. So I recommend that the items that in your home cache that you cannot survive without should be buried in your backyard. Once the black swan event happens, you'll have food and water and some emergency supplies in your home, in the house. But as the disaster continues, maybe day 14 and forward, your supplies can be dug up and used. Now, if it's a quick disaster, let's say 3 days, relief help comes, and there's no need to unbury your cash. If the disaster destroys your home and your cash in your home, then you'll have at least 2 weeks of supplies still buried in your property. It's kind of similar to the advice of don't have all your eggs in one basket. Why put everything in your house when your house can get destroyed? Separate it. This way, if something happens, you still got other supplies. Food in the external cache should be more compact and even portable food like backpacking meals, ready-to-eat meals, freeze-dried meals. The cache in your yard are right there so you can keep an eye on them. Don't have to worry about a remote location and someone stealing your stuff. Now, for your home external caches, what I suggest is you dig a hole, you put your tubular cache in there with some food or whatever supplies you would need, and then put a planter around it so you know where it's always located. So if the house does get destroyed or you have something come away and wipe everything away, you still have a good idea where that cache is at. Now, for security reasons, what you want to do, so your neighbors don't start realizing you have supplies buried, you want to start looking at becoming active and puttering around in your garden in your spare time. So the neighbors won't think anything unusual when they see you rolling a wheelbarrow and shovels or garden equipment around the yard. Once they get used to you or seeing you in your yard with your gardening efforts, they're not going to think much of it. So when a black swan event occurs, they won't be looking at your caches. Remember, concealment and camouflage is your best defense in an emergency. Besides the tubes, you can have some ammo cans buried. Now, if you're going to go with the idea of ammo cans, remember, you're going to have to waterproof them and seal them. I know a lot of them do have good seals on them when you click them on, but you still want to make sure that no moisture is going to get involved. Now, your external cache is away from your house. If the situation dictates that you must evacuate your home shelter, then you want to rely on your pre-planned external caches. Now, these external caches are called your remote external caches. When you plan for your remote external caches, you got to take a lot of things into consideration. Many feel that the bug-out vehicles will be in operation during a bug-out situation. And they plan their caches along this route in increments of every 60 miles. While planning a route and a bug-out plan for a vehicle, you must consider caching fuel. This makes the cache much harder to plan for and initiate. However, the obvious advantage of a vehicle does more than compensate for the extra work and problems. Caches along the evacuation route should be in a distance of at least 5 days on foot. How far can you travel 5 days on foot? Well, plan for 12 miles per day on foot. That is taking into consideration rest breaks, camp setup, and 10 hours of rest. This would equal to having your cache about every 60 miles to your retreat shelter. The idea here is that you can carry 5 days worth of supplies on your back, and by the time you're getting close to completing your supplies, you're close to a cache area where you can resupply your stores. If you're in a vehicle, and let's say you can make it 240 miles in a day, by all means, go that far. By our calculations, you should be close to another 5 day cache somewhere along that point, the 240 mile mark. The other caches can stay in place and be drawn upon at a later time if it becomes necessary. Now, driving your evacuation route, remember, we need to plan more than one route to our retreat shelter, just in case one is blocked. So, do it every 2 years is a good idea. That way, any changes can be made to compensate for man's progress into the backwood trail area. This would be a great time intervals to refresh your cache also. Besides, the better you know the area and the trail, the less likely you'll have any surprises or hardships along the way. When you refresh your cache, I would create a new cache tube of supplies and just unbury the old one and replace it with the new one. Take the old one back to your home and get it ready for the next time. This way, you're as quick as possible and avoid any curious eyes observing and compromising your cache location. Caches that contain fuel will be the hardest caches to build. The time and effort in buying containers for fuel, which would be substantial, and the likelihood of being discovered and or observed is extremely high. Large caches such as this are problems. Great care must be taken in assuring solitude and stealth. The vehicle must also contain a way of retrieving fuel from the cache. A pump, either hand-operated or powered by the engine or electrical system of the vehicle, or other devices suck the fuel out of the ground into the tank of the vehicle. Of course, here again, a cache of fuel for a motorcycle would naturally be smaller, a 5-gallon can or 2-gallon can, or 2 5-gallon cans of fuel for a motorcycle would be easier to cache. Now, burying your cache. Great care is taken while digging a hole for a cache. All the ground cover, such as grass, twigs, leaves, is removed and preserved so that it can be replaced without leaving any indications that anyone was digging there. A piece of bisqueen or plywood is laid out so that any dirt that is dug out of the hole is placed on it and not allowed to fall onto the surface around the digging area, which would give indication someone was digging. All dirt needs to be compacted back into the hole around and over the cache so that it won't settle with a little rainfall. The leftover dirt needs to be removed from the area. You're going to have leftover dirt because the cache is going to displace that dirt. If there's a stream nearby or a river nearby, you can drop it in the water or on the bank. If there's no stream, then go as far as possible, far away as possible, and scatter it as thinly on the ground as possible. If you are concerned about others finding your cache with a metal detector, here's a good trick. Bury some junk around it. Pistons, ring gears, old crankshafts, parts of a car, etc. in the area around your cache to mislead them into thinking that they happened onto an old junkyard or an area used by hoodlums to strip a car.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com.
I want to take this opportunity to announce that Arizona is going to have its first annual Survivalist Show. On May 19th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show will be held at the Commemorative Air Force Museum in Mesa, Arizona, in Falcon Field. All proceeds will go to the nonprofit museum. The show is open to anyone interested in the prepper movement that is sweeping across the United States. Come out and buy some items from many of Arizona's vendors. Visit with experts. Meet other like-minded citizens that are equally interested in helping protect themselves and their families from any unexpected event. This unique one-day show is a must-attend event for the entire family. Not only do you get the experience of the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show, but you will also see Arizona's premier working vintage aircraft. Vendors will be displaying and selling the following: freeze-dried foods, MREs, ideas on food availability at any grocery store, canned equipment and supplies, storage options, water barrels, food-grade buckets, military surplus equipment, clothing, camping equipment, survival garden seed supplies, ideas, bug-out bags, suggestions and supplies, solar ovens, solar kits, and solar ideas. There will also be educational seminars, books, manuals, and literature, emergency medical equipment and first aid supplies, fuel storage and battery supplies and ideas, propane cooking equipment, utensils, etc., water filtration equipment and supplies, plus many other items of interest. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Radio Talk Show will be recording a broadcast while the event is on, and we will be conducting interviews with people for the show. Come join us for a guaranteed fun time. Admission to the event is $10 per adult and $5 per child at the door. And the children under 5, they're free of charge. For more information, please contact Lance Baker at 480-229-5691. Once again, that number is 480-229-5691. Or email him at lancebaker1964@gmail.com. Once again, that's lancebaker1964@gmail.com. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hot, EAM.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701. Here's the newest song from Matt Fitzgibbon to PatriotMusic.com.
Out in the woods, west of Pittsburgh is home. Since my granddaddy's days, they left us alone. We lived on the river where we made panther's breath till the marshal brought death. We had fought for your freedom from here to the east. We cleaned out the Tories till the land was at peace. And we picked off the redcoats with our frontiersman aim. Then the taxman came. The Federalists said that they paid for the war. Tax on corn whiskey, distilled from us poor, that we needed some master to keep us in awe. So they declared martial law. We farmers decided we'd stick together, so we covered some tax men with tar and with feathers. General Washington headed the army again with 13,000 men. While the gallows are built, and it seems that my country is feeling some guilt. They say we've been pardoned, now their point has been made. But you should be afraid.
we want to think about what are we going to cache? What's the contents of our cache? Well, the contents of your cache will comprise of whatever you would need every 5 days. Food, water, ammo, etc. You have to take a look at your needs of your group also. There's a lot to be said for emergency rations being the same food that you use to eat during a non-emergency situation. This way there's no shock to your digestive tract. Nobody needs a case of diarrhea or constipation at a time like this. By eating all freeze-dried trail food or other emergency rations all of a sudden, instead of your normal diet, you will have problems. So camping, make it a good habit to go camping and eat this freeze-dried food. Get your system used to it. So when a situation like this happens, you're not going to have problems. In your cache, you can also include food items that you normally eat. Canned meats, ham, chicken, stuff like that, if you preserve them properly and you are rotating them out quickly. Also, one thing you don't want to forget is toiletry items. That should be in every cache there is. Things like antacid, aspirin, constipation medication, laxatives, razors for shaving, toilet paper, dental hygiene supplies. These are items you probably want to put in your cache, on every one of them. If you've got long hair and you're not going to be removing it for the bug out, then you need a brush and ties to tie it back into a ponytail to keep it out of your hair, out of your way. Hair, however, is a good handle for anyone who might be doing combat with you. So you really want to think about trying to cut your hair. Now, storing weapons in a cache, that's a totally different story. Great care must be taken in storing weapons and ammo underground. Now let's talk a little bit about how we design our caches. Now cache construction is one thing that is both critical and varies from person to person. The size and shape varies according to your personal survival strategy. My favorite type is a tube-style cache. The availability of plastic pipe in a wide variety of sizes has made it simple and easy to construct caching tubes in different sizes that can fulfill your needs. It may not be cheap, but you can purchase PVC pipe pretty much regular in any hardware store. Now, remember, PVC pipes come in large sizes, large enough to place a fully loaded backpack in them, with room for your weapons of choice along with it. To construct these caches, a minimum investment of tools, you may already own them, and a small amount of knowledge is needed. To cut the pipe, an inexpensive hacksaw is all you need. Purchase end caps, glue, and cleaner made for a PVC pipe. Follow standard procedures to glue one cap on the one end. And what I mean by standard procedures, you're going to want to put a blue one on it that cleans it off and then glue it. Let the glue dry. One thing you want to remember here, glue is cheap. A leak is very expensive. So put a lot of glue on there. Now the other end is generally not glued. The end that is not glued is always kept up towards the surface. If you use a normal end cap, you can coat with a liberal coating of petroleum product and just slide the end cap over the end of the tube. You can only do this if your climate is not wet and the groundwater level is not a problem. You can also purchase clean-out plugs that glue on the end of your tube. A necessity if you are in a wet climate with high level of groundwater. And have a threaded plug that tightens enough to be watertight. Another way of doing it. Now, remember, the PVC pipe, there's multitudes of sizes, caps, screw-ons, glue-ons, all kinds of stuff. Take a look at it and choose the one that will best suit your needs. Now, when you place the removable cap on the tube, remember to use some mill tape to seal it. That's a black tape. Usually comes like 10 mil. This tape is specially designed for underground piping. Now, one important point to make while discussing the construction of your cache is the depth of the combined earth and the depth of the constructed cache. If the bottom of the cache is a further distance from the top of the ground than you can reach, you need to provide some type of retrieval system. This could be as simple as having all your cache stored in a garbage bag inside the tube and just pull on the strings of the garbage bag to pull it out. Or you could put a T-handle in there. A T-handle, drill a hole in the cap make sure you seal it, and you'll be able to grab the bar and pull it up. But do not forget the simple retrieval system. Now, other types of cache constructions vary from things as simple as a watertight plastic barrel to elaborate marine plywood boxes or vaults that are coated with all kinds of waterproofing. Now, be aware, the plastic barrels may not be strong enough to hold the pressure of the ground around it and over it, so many people place them in a box or even a large steel barrel. I would have them coated with a thick coat of polyurethane foam to give it added extra strength. The main emphasis here is waterproofing, with a second emphasis on being strong enough not to collapse when you remove the cache items for rotation of your stores or retrieval of your cache. Now, another important factor of caching is that anything that is buried 18 to 24 inches under the surface of the ground maintains a temperature of approximately the average temperature of the area it is buried in. In other words, even if the temperature gets into the hundreds of degrees, the temperature in most areas in the United States of the cache will probably remain in the 70s. Also, if the temperature drops below 10 below, it will remain the average, which is the yearly temperature all year long, of the location. So let's say you're in Minnesota where the average temperature is 56 degrees. Your stores will be stored at 56 degrees most of the year, no matter what the weather is outside. Building codes realized this many years ago and is referred to as the frost line or the frost upheaval line. Check the building department of your local area and you'll be able to find out what the temperature is.
You're listening to AC Safety Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program right here on bbsradio.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, healthcare and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new Emergency Information Network is on our website. Here you'll find the latest news regarding food safety, emergency news, FEMA daily reports, medical alerts, solar weather alerts, and hurricane reports. Plus you'll find links to outbreak databases, near-Earth objects, solar flares, and information from government and non-government outlets. Come join us at csp.hesafety.org and take a look at our new Emergency Information Network. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program at csp.hesafety.org or follow us on Google Plus and Facebook.
Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
The other day I was able to evaluate the Rush Moab 10 pack from 511 Tactical, and I must admit I was very impressed with it. The first thing I noticed was how versatile the pack was. Now me, being a right-handed individual, could use it comfortably, and my wife, who is left-handed, can also use it comfortably with just making a few adjustments. This is because of the ambidextrous shoulder strap system that is built into the pack. This is a big plus because no matter who uses it, it will be comfortable for them. Just in case you have a long hike in front of you and during any type of bug out situation, you can expect a couple mile walk. The bag contains more than enough interior pouches to handle any of the equipment I had. And trust me, I loaded it up with my equipment and it was able to store everything I needed, plus some. I especially like the idea of the keychain fobs. This is an excellent way to store zip drives or an extra set of car keys that would be required during a home evacuation. I even found a pocket that 511 Tactical explains to be a comm pocket for radios with a pass-through for the microphone and the earbud. But I found it to be very useful to hold my cell phone and my MP3 player. I was able to hike while enjoying my music playing in my ears. Now, I don't recommend that you listen to the MP3 player during any emergency. But during your downtime, it'd be a great way to be able to listen to some music and still be within an arm's reach of your equipment. A new item I noticed was that the Moab 10 had a pocket for a water pack with slots built into the bag for the water spout. Now, this idea gives it a lot of extra points in my book. This eliminates the need for canteens on the belt or attached to the backpack and places the weight of the water squarely on your back and shoulders where it can be evenly distributed. As we all know, anything that equals out the weight is invaluable. In order to check the Moab 10's durability during a field test, I gave the bag to the person in my group who was the roughest on all equipment that we had, Ezra, my 5-year-old grandson. He dragged it, threw it around, and even used it as a seat. The good news here is that it survived. All I had to do was clean it up and remove all the pine cones and spent cartridges that we found everywhere on the ground out of the bag, and it was ready to be put back in service. If a 5-year-old can spend over an hour with the bag and it's not able to damage it, I believe it'd stand up to any type of disaster and still be usable. The only complaint I did find with the bag is the size of the web system on the outside of the bag. Now, the system is standard about 2 inches for each of the slots, with only one or two of the hooks being a little bit larger. Now, this size will accommodate most standard straps and equipment latches. I have a lot of pouches that are wider than the 2 inches, and that's because of my old correctional days. So, besides that, the web system was great. However, my military pouches and bags fit on the web system nicely. Overall, the versatility of the bag was one of the most impressive items I've seen in a while. Not only can you use the bag for a day trip with the family and be able to store all the necessary equipment you would need, but the bag can be used for a go bag and still have all the equipment in it that you'll need to survive a 3-day trek. Plus, another item of this bag, versatility, was that it can be opened and used while still slung over your shoulder, just swinging it in front of you. This way you can still retrieve your food items from the bag while still over your shoulder and you keep on trekking without skipping a beat. Once all the testing was complete, I placed the Moab 10 bag into service as my family's go bag for the car. It contains all my emergency maps, zip and external hard drives, extra set of car keys, emergency radio, 5 solar blankets, emergency rations for 3 people, the water pack is full with extra water, N95 masks, pens, writing tablets, and a few bags of jerky and candy for myself. The outside of the bag has attached to it a med kit, buck knife, flashlight, and a fire starter kit. The Moab 10, which stands for Mobile Operation Attachment Bag, is a great deal for $99.99 and can serve as a versatile emergency go bag and a family day pack. I know for myself, it'll see a lot of miles and it will be attached to my backpack the next emergency I have to respond to. For more information on this review and a link to purchase the item, visit us at csp.hesafety.org. I want to take this opportunity to announce that Arizona is going to have its first annual Survivalist Show. On May 19th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show will be held at the Commemorative Air Force Museum in Mesa, Arizona, in Falcon Field. All proceeds will go to the nonprofit museum. The show is open to anyone interested in the prepper movement that is sweeping across the United States. Come out and buy some items from many of Arizona's vendors. Visit with experts. Meet other like-minded citizens that are equally interested in helping protect themselves and their families from any unexpected event. This unique one-day show is a must-attend event for the entire family. Not only do you get the experience of the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show, but you will also see Arizona's premier working vintage aircraft. Vendors will be displaying and selling the following: freeze-dried foods, MREs, ideas on food availability at any grocery store, canning equipment and supplies, storage options, water barrels, food-grade buckets, military surplus equipment, clothing, camping equipment, survival gardening seed supplies, ideas, bug-out bags, suggestions and supplies, solar ovens, solar kits, and solar ideas. There will also be educational seminars, books, manuals, and literature, emergency medical equipment and first aid supplies, fuel storage and battery supplies and ideas, propane cooking equipment, utensils, etc., water filtration equipment and supplies, plus many other items of interest. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Radio Talk Show will be recording a broadcast while the event is on, and we will be conducting interviews with people for the show. Come join us for a guaranteed fun time. Admission to the event is $10 per adult and $5 per child at the door. And the children under five, they're free of charge. For more information, please contact Lance Baker at 480-229-5691. Once again, that number is 480-229-5691. Or email him at lancebaker1964@gmail.com. Once again, that's lancebaker1964@gmail.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug-out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. So prepare now for a future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701.
You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com. Now, another aspect. Everything in your cache is going to be in a waterproof containment. So, it's just like having it in a dry, cool environment. And that's usually recommended for storage of almost anything that we have. Even medications are recommended to be kept in a dry, cool place. The medicine cabinet in your home, trust me, it really is not qualified as a good place to store medication. Your cache would be a better ideal place to store medication than your own home medicine cabinet. Now that you have your time capsule constructed, the next task is to ensure the evacuation of oxygen and moisture. Well, let's take a look at moisture first. You know, it's not necessary to bake your rifles in the oven to dry it out or anything like that. One of the cheapest things you can do is to purchase silica gels. It absorbs moisture. Now, depending on how long it's been in stock, it'll come to you either blue or pink in color. It should be blue. That's the normal color for it. Now, if it is pink, what that means is it has reached its maximum absorption level. And you can dry these out so you can reuse them. This can be done easily by spreading it thinly on a large plate or dish and baking it at 250 degrees in an oven. Leave the oven door open slightly to let the moisture escape. The silica gel will turn blue around the edges at first and gradually will turn light blue all over the place. Stern seems to be to hasten the process, but increasing the heat seems to make little difference. The whole pink to blue transformation can take about an hour. Most turn blue within 10 minutes, but at least 10% of it will take forever. Once blue and cool, the silica gel can be stored in an airtight plastic bag where it will remain until needed. Now, getting rid of the air in a tube is the next step. Dry ice is the way to go. A little bit, about 2 dessert spoonfuls of dry ice in a tube will rapidly turn to a gas and will force all the air out. So now we have the gel for the water and dry ice to escape all the air. Actually, to force the air out. Now that we know the basics of how to build and bury a cache, let's talk about cache location. So where do we put it, and how do we find it again? If we're good at concealing our caches, they can be placed almost anywhere. However, other than the front yard cache discussed earlier, the need for seclusion is extremely important. They need, first of all, to be placed away from traffic and residents so that you can bury or refresh your cache without being detected. The caches will be far enough apart that no one will likely be able to trace your route by finding them. Besides, if you take the added precaution of placing your caches about 100 feet or so off the side of a trail, it would be very hard to find. This caching system and grid location of your caches should be included in your family emergency plans. Remember, this will make your family emergency plans confidential for only you and your group to know what is in your family emergency plans. When burying multiple tubes in a cache, use a star pattern and bury them at a prescribed distance apart. 12 to 24 inches apart would be fine. That way, when you find one, use the pattern and distance to find the others. Having them slightly separated like this helps protect the rest of the cache if one of the tubes is accidentally discovered also. Use the points of a compass as your pattern. One is due north of the center tube, and one is due south, east, and west. A spot of different colors of paint on the cap would tell me which point of the star it is, and therefore what direction to find the others, or to find center. If you put the letters N-E-W-S on it, people will pretty much be able to determine what your pattern is. So use a drop of paint. This is also because of the distance between them makes it less noticeable that there is more than one cache tube if accidentally discovered. However, make sure the pattern and color code are the same for all caches. You don't want to go modifying everything and people get confused. Another point to bring up here is this. If you are in an emergency situation and you're using your caches on the evacuation route, care should be taken to take your trash along with you. You don't want to leave a trail of garbage for someone to follow you. Carry your garbage with you and place it in the next cache tube that you come across and take your supplies out of. You really don't need to be as particular about hiding the evidence of your cache if you are taking the supplies out and putting trash in. Go ahead and bury it, but don't worry about complete concealment. If the cache is full of garbage when it's discovered, what have you lost? Well, that about does it. So this is what we've talked about, is how to make a cache, what supplies you should put in it, how to bury them, your home cache, and your external caches. Remember, they should contain about 5 days' worth of food and supplies, because you do not want to burden yourself with a heavy load on your back and not be able to make it to your caches. Let's talk a little bit about resupplying your schedule for your caches. Your caches will contain supplies that will not last forever. Because of this, we need to make a schedule to replace or refresh our caches. It is best to build a new cache at your home first, then making a quote-unquote camping trip out to your location. In order to save time and limit the risk of being observed, dig up your cache and replace the supplies by removing the old ones and installing new ones quickly. Then rebury the tubes. Remember to take the precautions we spoke about earlier on how to bury your caches. The scheduling should be about every 2 years. This will take care of multiple factors in your caching system. You'll get to learn the lay of the land, notice who's out there, what kind of encroachment is coming on from civilization, and you get to go out there and have some fun. And when people see you out there every so often, they get used to you, and they don't pay you much attention. Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program. We may be found at the web at csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness.
Using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Teach the lessons to your daughters and sons. The fear of the government, the fear is your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. They don't feel safe if you are armed. You say gun control is using both hands. Using both hands.